and welcome to Futures Focus, a fantasy baseball podcast centering around all the top prospects in the game, brought to you by Prospects 1500. My name is Alex Sanchez, and joining me is Nate Eckert, my wonderful co-host. Nate, how are you doing tonight?
I am excellent, Alex. Thank you for asking. Very excited about tonight's episode, and I'm sure you'll explain why I am so excited.
Yeah, we have a lot to go over. It's actually a really packed episode here for you all. We have the spring breakout rosters to go over, which is kind of a inaugural thing. We've never seen this before. It's exciting to go over. We'll break that down for you. And we also are going to kind of dive into the top 190 prospects as delivered by Prospects 1500. We won't have time to go over all 190. We'll probably go over the first 100 or so tonight and try to hit the other ones later. But we're going to hit a bunch of prospects. I mean, we're going to talk about a bunch of guys today. Before we do that, though, I did want to do a couple of housekeeping things. And that first thing is going to be to give a shout out to Baseball Pods, and this is his Twitter handle, at Baseball Pods. It's Chris Marr. He's a friend of mine in the Highlander Invitational. And every year, he does a March Madness-style bracket tournament with all of the best, or at least some of the best, baseball podcasts that are out there. And basically, it's just put to a vote on Twitter. So we already went through the first round, Nate. And we were victorious.
We advanced.
That was very good. So wanted to mention who we were facing, and I actually hadn't listened to them before, but on the way to work today, I gave it a listen. It's the Fake Baseball Podcast, and actually it consists of two gentlemen, one from Fantasy Pros. I believe that's where he's at. I'm not sure if he's still there or not. But it is Blake Meyer. Yeah, he's still on Fantasy Pros, and he's on the pitcher list as well. And it was, I don't have his name here, but it was Lydell. I forgot his name. Derek, I want to say. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's at Fake Baseball. They have a different style than us. They're a little bit more raw in terms of, like, They're telling it like it is and don't have as much of a filter as we do. We try to keep it PG on this. That's like a PG-13. But it's really a definitely excellent competition. So give them a listen as well when you're done with this. But with that being said, we are happy to be moving on. I haven't figured out who we're facing next, but be on the lookout for tweets from Nate, from myself, from Prospects, from Scott, everybody, when we ask for your votes again. So great job on that. Also saw a couple of reviews on Apple. So get rid of the one that we had. So appreciate that as well.
Nice. So there is more than one officially. There's more than one out there, huh?
Yeah. So excited to see that. And again, thanks for everybody that voted. I saw that we almost got, I think there was almost 200 votes cast.
Wow.
And that's very good for the first round. Great. So last year we had two victories before we had to go up against the, you know, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg, who are also in the Chris Highlander. Clegg. I'm going to have to talk to them and see if I can get them to back off a little bit.
Bow out. Just move, just give up.
Yeah, they do a good job. They're doing like three a week, which is tough. But they also, you know, do it as a – I know Chris is going full-time now, which is pretty cool.
Sure.
Chris Clegg's going
full-time.
That's pretty awesome. So lots of shout-outs. But let's get into the episode for this week. So, yeah, first of all, let me just kind of go over what this spring breakout roster is, and let me get your thoughts on it. Nate, it is – 16 games taking place in spring training from March 14th through the 17th that consists of essentially prospect only teams. Each team is basically bringing a full team of prospects. They get to choose. They don't take everybody. So it's not just simply all the prospects. In fact, some teams, as we'll get to, like the Rangers, you might think, oh my gosh, that's going to be a really good one because, you know, we have Wyatt Langford at a little preview here. We have Wyatt Langford, number four, and we have Evan Carter at, where do we have Carter on our prospects? We have him at eight. So you're going to get two top 10 prospects, but unfortunately, they aren't going with the Rangers' other prospects. They're staying in camp, which gives us some information, meaning they're probably making the team, which Evan Carter's no crazy one. Yeah, but I would assume.
But Wyatt Langford. Sure. Oh, yeah. Man. Did you see he hit his fourth home run today?
So I don't think we're breaking any news to people when we say he's going to be making Major League roster. But that's where a little bit of information can be gathered here. But more so, this is just kind of fun to get your eyes on as many prospects as one. I mean, when we go over the teams, you're like, for instance, the Padres are going to be really exciting to take a look at because they're going to have like five or six top 100 guys and they're going to be all in one place. And then it's not like they're just playing another random team that has, you know, a bunch of nobodies. They're going to be playing, if I look at the schedule here, the Mariners. And the Mariners are going to be quite exciting too with, you know, a handful of top 100 guys. Yeah, so the Mariners, right, you're going to get all of them at once. Right. And you're getting, it's like a mini futures game that you get to watch. But you're going to have to pick and choose, right? You're not going to be able to watch all the games at once. I mean, of course, you can probably flip through them. I'm not even sure if they're all televised or not. I can't find exactly the schedule on that yet. But anyway, it's very exciting. And so I just wanted to kind of break down that. So, yeah, let's start with your opinion on all of this. Is this a good idea, bad idea? Do you think it's just kind of selling something that we already kind of see in spring training anyway? What do you think, Nate?
Oh, I love it. I'm all for it. When I heard about it, I was really stoked. And after doing a little bit of research into it, I'm additionally stoked because we're going to be able to see, I hope, as many prospects as possible. So, like, if with the Mariners, I would be so excited to see Colt Emerson, who I'm really high on in general. And I would love to see how he would perform against the Padres elite prospects also. It gives them just another platform to shine. And I think that the more that Major League Baseball does that for the younger generation, the better. I mean, it's a win-win for everybody. Perhaps, you know, the vets get a little bit, I wouldn't say worn down by any stretch of the imagination, but maybe they wouldn't mind a little, quick little break, you know? So I love it. I love the whole idea.
And I think it's a really good marketing scheme or plan by Major League Baseball, because if we're talking regular season, right, you're just not going to sell minor league baseball over Major League Baseball, right? The majority of people that are paying for this service, you know, MLB TV or whatever, they're going to be choosing the Major League games over the minor league games, except for some of the degenerates, like most of us probably, are making or listening to this podcast. But right now, right, I mean, I love baseball. It's probably my favorite thing in the world that's not, you know, the vital things to life. but I'm not watching spring training games. You know, I just don't care about that. Minus the things I always care about spring training are the prospects on my team, and guys that are interesting around the league. So, spring training is a great time to market the future and have them be on display for everybody to see, because I'd much rather turn into one of those games than just game number 15 of spring training, which
absolutely
means nothing. It's a really smart idea. I think it's going to catch on pretty nicely. And like you mentioned, there's a couple of great teams to check out. So I think the top matchup is definitely the Padres and the Mariners. They play on March 15th. They're one of the first games. That's going to be your only chance to catch either of those teams. So be sure to tune in for that one. So on the next day, it's kind of, you know, I'm looking at the Reds Guardians as an interesting one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think the Brewers are an interesting team. Mm-hmm. The Orioles are loaded too, by the way. You got to catch the Orioles Pirates game. So this is March 14th in the Grapefruit League. So take a look at some of these guys that you're going to get. Ooh. If you turn into this game, you're getting, they're sending Jackson Holliday. So that's nice, which kind of does show that he's not in the Wyatt Langford of automatically right. making the team yet, but maybe the Orioles have a different approach. Who knows? You're also getting Basalo, Kobe Mayo, Connor Norby, Enrique Bradfield, and Dylan Beavers.
Wow.
For the Orioles. Then you're going to get to see Paul Skenes pitch, Bubba Chandler pitch, and also Tamar Johnson, who's looked good in the spring as well for the Pirates.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Good stuff.
Pretty good. And there is a name, I don't know, I'll put you on the spot here, Nate, that I didn't call for the Pirates. It's quite interesting, and I know you really like him, pitcher.
Jared Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think this might mean he's making it out of spring training, huh?
That is a possibility, and he's had a really good spring.
And I think Bubba Chandler is a really good name to take a look at there.
Look into.
I'm watching the Cubs closely as well. Let me see who the Cubs are playing.
Yeah.
Cubs White Sox. Ugh, don't like that the White Sox as much.
But the Cubs, you know.
Yeah, Cade Horton. Although, did he get hurt? I thought he got hurt. I thought I saw something about that.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't see that.
Maybe. Oh, it was Killian. Caleb Killian got.
Oh, okay.
Then you get Matt Shaw and you get Owen Casey.
PTA.
And you got, Cassie? Casey? I think it's
Casey. Casey, I think.
Casey. Kevin Alcantara, James Triantos.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty nice.
And PCA.
Well, he got sent down. He's not on the list, though, in terms of the rosters. I don't know if they could change these last minute or not, but I did, you know, I saw him got.
Yeah, you're right. Assigned. He did. You're right. My bad.
But he is not on the roster. So you got to be careful with that. If you catch the White Sox as well, you're going to be getting, let's see who they sent. They sent Colson Montgomery and Brian Ramos. Those are two good names.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Cuero as well. That's a pretty good game, too.
Yeah. Is Noah Schultz part of that?
No. There's no Noah. that's disappointing. What about the Nationals and Mets?
Oh, let's see
who's going with
Gotta them. Love that's that one.
We love the Mets.
We do love the Mets.
This is, it's everybody for the Mets. Jet Williams, Drew Gilbert, Ryan Clifford, Luis Angel Acuna, Colin Hawk, Alex Ramirez, Kevin Parada. That's pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
They got to be stacked.
You're getting Dylan Cruz, James Wood, Brady House, Yandy Morales, Hassel. Susanna, DJ Hurts. That's a good
one. Wow. That's probably, in my opinion, that's probably the best one.
Is that your favorite?
Yeah, so far.
I like the Orioles. I would love to see Jackson Holliday go against Paul Skenes. I think that's going to be like
Ohtani
Trout type of stuff that you want to see.
Yep, I agree.
That is a good, when you turn anything happening in that Nationals-Mets game is going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, and this is kind of what we were getting at, right, Alex? Like this is what's so cool about popping this right in the middle of spring training, which, you know, by all means during this stretch of spring, it could be, you know, you got six split squads going at it, and maybe it's an off day or two, and you'll get perhaps maybe one or two. Like real studs, all stars who have a day. But I mean, your average spring game, you're only finding about five or six, you know, real great highlights to check out. But in lieu of that, you get Paul Skenes v Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo and Kershaw. You know, there's so many more tantalizing things to watch as fans and as prospect fiends like we are here. So yeah, it's such a, in my opinion, it's such a great idea.
The Rockies Diamondbacks is a decent one.
Okay.
Fernandez, Jordan Beck, Zach Veen, Benny Montgomery, Hunter Goodman, Cole Kjerig, one of my favorites, Chase Dolander. And then for the Diamondbacks, Lawler is there, so he kind of makes up for it. Everyone else, but Tommy Troy, Drew Jones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Heumann Lin. Pretty darn good. The big disappointment is the Brewers. You're like, okay, look at who's going for the Brewers. Jackson Chourio, Mizorowski, Jefferson Cuero, Tyler Black, Robert Gasser, Brock Wilkin, Yeferi Rodriguez. But unfortunately, they're playing the Royals.
Oof.
And the, but Royals have no top 100 guys.
Gavin Cross? But...
He is. Blake Mitchell, okay. Gavin Cross.
Yeah, Frank Mazzucato?
No, Mazzucato. It's not much fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blake Mitchell. Yeah. So the Dodgers are just okay. so that freeway series isn't too exciting. But I think what we've done here is really pointed out some of the ones you got to watch, like that Padres Mariners one. You got to check out the Orioles and Pirates, unfortunately. No, you know what? It is on a different day than the Nats and Mets, so you can catch those ones for sure. You can catch your favorite team as well with, you know, Braves are doing the Red Sox. You guys are doing the Angels. A couple of teams play twice, and I wonder how they decided which teams
who
get
did
to
that?
Play
yeah.
twice. The Cardinals get to play twice, but both matchups aren't much fun. The Cardinals are actually interesting. They're sending Mason Winn and they're sending Sajacy, which I learned how to pronounce as well. Sajacy. It's fun. Tell your friends. It's not Sajacy.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. But the Marlins, which essentially it's Jacob Berry, if you're excited about him, and Noble Meyer. And then they're playing. Yeah, they're playing the Astros, who have Jacob Milton, who I love, Zach DiCenzo, who I love as well. But other than that, so not much. Although Eric Geddy has been pretty spicy in spring, so it's fun. What I want to do more than anything with this is instead of talking about this, guys, because essentially what this is turning into, and I thought this would happen, is, you know, who are our favorite guys to watch, which essentially would be our favorite top 100 prospects or so, which brings us to maybe discussing that from the site as well. So I think we'll stop there. What I want to do is go over the results as well. So once these games have taken place, see which ones you check out, which ones I can, the highlights. I'm sure there's going to be lots of stuff to check out and then see what we gather from this. This is the first time, so I'm assuming it's going to go off pretty nicely, but who knows? Maybe there's some different stuff that we can't envision, but we'll go over the results with that. But I think it's time, don't you think, Nate, to get into the top 100 prospects for 2024. What do you think?
Absolutely. Without question.
All right, let's do it. After the break. All right. We'll be right back. Futures Focus with you, Nate Eckert, myself, Alex Sanchez. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And we are back. So we are going to discuss some of the prospects on the top 190 list today. And again, this is a collab of several writers, although not as many as participated in the past. And the reasoning behind that, more so than anything, I think, was to keep this consistent with the top 50 list. So the writers that participated in that were the ones sort of partaking on this list. I did partake on this list. I do not think that you got on to the list in terms of the site, but you did make your own top 100 list separate. So our work, if you will. So check it out on the site. It's prospects1500.com. You'll see it as one of the posts. And again, this is, you know, it's a very extensive list. We're up to 190. Obviously, we can't go over all 190 today. What I wanted this to be more than anything was sort of just a quick primer, right? We're going over all of these guys in detail when we go over each division, right? So there's no need to say who, you know, the stats for Jordan Lawler and AA and go over the scouting reports of all these guys. We're going to do that. And if you're interested, you can just tune to that particular episode and you'll hear that guy. What I want to quickly go over is sort of just sort of check the list, make sure you're familiar with all these guys, at least on the outset, so that Dynasty Leagues, you can use this as a way to trade up for people, add a prospect in that swings a deal in your favor and stuff like that. So let's start. We always start at the top. I'm going to start at 100 and go back. Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. That sounds like fun.
Do that. Okay, so I'm going to pull up my list as well, and you have your list, right?
And I have it right here in front of me.
Something like that. All right, so back from the 100th, going all the way to number one, we have Sal Stewart, Jung-Hoo Lee, Miguel Blais, Justin Foscue, Cam Collier, Aiden Miller, Cade Cavalli, Diego Cartaya, Yankeel Fernandez, Edwin Arroyo, Carson Wisenhunt at number 90. So again, it's going to be tough to go over all these guys in depth. Let's just go over a guy that you think's kind of overrated and underrated within those 10. I'll start and then you can kind of give your interpretation as well. I personally think Sal Stewart is pretty low at 100. I'm really a fan of him. I think he's going to be a stud. I have him at 73 on my list. And a guy that's too high for me is Justin Foscue. I don't even think I would have gotten Foscue on my top 200 list, but he's there at 97. So that's just my ideas. What do you think, Nate?
Let's see here. I think Aiden Miller is a little too low for me, 95. I mean, that's just five from 100, obviously. I think Cade Cavalli is a little high for me.
So when you say low, you want Miller higher on the list? Like you want him in the 80s
I would.
Or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I had Miller. Let's see here.
Fast. Tell me where you had him.
I think I may have had him in the 60s. Hold on. Number 58. I had Aiden Miller.
Okay. That's a great call, Ben. Aiden Miller. Fair enough. All right. Let's go with the next group here. 89 was Josue De Paula, Andy Pahez at 88, back-to-back Dodgers. At 87 is Chase Petty, a guy I know you like. Gabriel Gonzalez, Seagong at 86. Thomas J.C. at 85, Jared Jones at 84, Sebastian Wolcott at 82, Connor Norby at 81, and Justin Crawford. I mean, this is Nate's range, right? I mean, these are all your guys here. Can you pick one that's underrated? Can you even pick one?
That's underrated?
Yeah, one that you
think. Oh, yeah. Definitely Jones. I have him. Let me see really fast.
Hold see if on. You beat me. See if you beat me with Jones. I have him much higher as well.
Good. I've got him at number 50, folks. 50.
Weak. I have him at 40.
Ah! Oh, see, that's only 10. That's a good spot, yeah, though.
We agree. Jared Jones is so good. We cannot have him. Yeah, 84 is criminally low. But the beautiful thing about a list like this is sort of where, you know, the safe view of him would be. We're obviously quite aggressive on him, but this gives you an idea. Maybe, you know, you get a trade. Hey, why don't you throw in Jared Jones and you might get something like that, or you target him in the trade. I also have Sajacy really high too. I think I had Sajacy at 56 too. So those are two guys.
Okay.
Nice. I love Norby too. Nice. I mean, this is actually my range as well. Like, I love a lot of these.
Oh guys. Yeah, totally. I've got Chase Petty. That's another one that stands out to me.
Where do you have Petty?
I got him. I have him above. I got him right next to my boy Jared Jones. I got Petty at 49. So 49-50, Petty, Jared Jones.
Nice. I don't have Petty on my list. I don't have Gabriel Gonzalez on my list.
Yeah, I don't have Gonzalez either.
Wolcott's
I don't have JC either.
What?
Yeah, I don't.
You got to get on his train.
I should. I just haven't really read about him enough or seen him.
We talked about him last year. He's my like sleeper guy in like the 180s. He's gonna be starting in St. Louis in a month. Get on board. Yeah. You got to get on board.
That was
he's gonna hit. He's gonna hit 300.
That was this. Numbers. Okay. Well, hey, you've never steered me wrong in the past, Alex.
He reminds me of when you weren't on board with Evan Carter yet.
Yeah, exactly. And look at how well. Let's not bring that one up again.
Where did you put Crawford? Crawford at 80 is, I think, pretty aggressive for a lot of people.
Oh,
but I'm assuming you had him higher. Crawford. He didn't make my top 100 list.
Ugh. Well, I hate your guts. Ha! Look at this. So, Chase Petty 49, Jared Jones 50, Justin Crawford 51.
Nice. Hey, you're nothing if not consistent. Love it.
Yep.
All right. Let's continue on here at 79, a favorite of mine, Brian Rocchio, Edgar Criero at 78, James Triantos at 77, Brock Wilkin at 76, Mick Abel at 75, Tommy Troy at 74, Jefferson Cuero at 73, Nolan Chanul at 72, Colt Emerson at 71, and Rhett Lauder. If the last 10 were some of our favorites, I'm definitely the opposite of that. In this
I'm with you on that one, brother. Except for Colt Emerson.
Yeah, I got Rocchio at 62. That's pretty close. I don't have, well, you know me with catchers, I don't have Edgar Cuero or Jefferson Cuero. I don't care what Cuero you are, you're not making my top one. I got Tommy Troy at 50. That's pretty interesting. And then I have Emerson at 48. Those are the guys I would really buy here. What about you? What do you got?
Let's see here. I've got Emerson. This is weird. Okay, so remember Chase Petty was 49, Jared Jones was 50, Justin Crawford was 51, but Colt Emerson was 48. So he was the start of all of that. So right above Chase Petty. Then another one I had was Troy, Tommy Troy. Where did I have him? Actually, I don't know if I screwed this up. There he is. I had him at 68. So pretty close. That's close.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
I'm going to be either super right or super wrong about Mick Abel. I mean, I have never had him on my top 100 list, but
here he is at 75. Wow, never?
Did he make your 100 list?
He did. probably a little bit higher than that. Hold on one second. He's coming. Oh, yeah. See, I had him at 47. Oh, my God. Wow. So weird. 47. Right at top. Colt Emerson at 48. This is getting too weird now. Don't ask me who number 46 is.
Let's move on. At 69, nice is Lazaro Montez. Brock Porter at 68. Dylan Lesko at 67. Max Meyer at 66. Tink Hentz at 65. Hurston Waldrop at 64. Jace Young at 63. Sedani Rafaela at 62. Harry Ford at 61. Drew Thorpe at 60. Very interested in this. So my big guy that stands out for me is Lazaro Montez. I have him at 36. That's much higher than 69.
Yes, it is.
I don't think I had Porter on mine. No, I didn't have Porter. I had Lesko. Lesko's close for me. I have Waldrop much higher. I have Waldrop at 26.
Okay. All right. I like your I like your conviction.
I don't have Jace Young on my list. I'm never going to have Jace Young on my list.
What? Oh, my God. Why not? Okay. Hold on. Let me just tell you where I have him on my list.
Okay.
Okay. You're gonna hate this. I have him number 28, Jace Young.
Okay. One of us is gonna look really smart.
And one of us is gonna look so stupid.
Yeah.
But that's how that goes.
I don't think he can play second base.
Well.
And so I don't think he's gonna hit enough to play a corner or a DH.
Well.
Or an out.
That's I think his hit tool is what's going to carry him no matter what. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think he's playing now. Yeah.
Where do you have Drew Thorpe?
I got Thorpe. Yeah, he did, but he's down there. 81.
Okay. Fair. All right. From 59, we have AJ Smith, Shaver, Noah Schultz, Owen Casey, Mason Miller at 56, Chase Hampton at 55, one of our darlings who's having a great spring, Spencer Jones at 54, interesting to see where you have him at, Curtis Meade at 53, Victor Scott at 52, Kyle Teal at 51, and Kevin Alcantara at 50. So we're getting to some high-end names here.
My goodness gracious.
Anybody jump out for you? Where did you have? I can't wait. Where did you have Spencer?
Spencer Jones. Let's see here. I've got him at.
I'm pretty close, actually.
I've got him at 39.
Nice. Okay, you're higher. I got him at 44. So we're pretty close, really, to the our list here. So that's good.
Yep. Definitely.
I have Smith Shaver higher. 37. God, I'm a homer.
30, yeah, I have Shaver a little lower. I think it was like in the number 7D. So 7-0.
I got Owen Casey at 39. That's actually a pretty big jump. So
yeah, that is a big jump, and I think I'm right there with you. Let me take a look real fast.
Close everywhere here.
40.
Yeah, nice. My biggest one is actually Curtis Meade. I guess I still really believe in Curtis Meade. I had him at 25.
Nice.
I haven't given up on him.
No, and there's no reason to, I don't think. He just kind of got lost in my shuffle. And let's be clear. He started right around, let's make sure he's not in here at all. Yeah. Okay. So he started around 35. And then as I continued to go, I just kept dropping him and dropping him and dropping him because, and I should preface this. I should have done this earlier, but I guess now's the time anyway. I wanted everyone to, our listeners, to understand that when I do these lists, these pertain to, obviously, fantasy value and future value. And I'm really, really, really big on upside, projectability, etc. So if a guy like Curtis Meade, for example, is somewhere on my list and I want to showcase a player who I like a lot more than Curtis Meade, and I know that a lot of our listeners are very familiar with a player like Curtis Meade, I absolutely will substitute him with, I think my very first one was Jackson Ferris is who I think I switched him out with. So
I get what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense. That's fair.
Yeah. Okay.
That's very fair. All right. Let's continue. Oh, well, I will say this. I didn't have Kevin Alcantara on my top 100 at all, and he's 50 on our list here.
Yeah, I can't believe he's this high on our list. I'm excited about it because I love the guy. But second. I don't know that I have.
He's so high variance for me that I'm not willing to bet on him. I just feel like he's a guy that could amount to nothing, but could also be a superstar. But he's
just, I agree. I have him at 60. So yeah, I mean,
yeah, I can see it. Like, there's no doubt. Right. Let's continue on at 49. Termar Johnson, Robbie Snelling at 48, Cole Young all the way at 47 here, Dalton Rushing. God, these, why do we love catchers so much on this side? I never get it, but 46, Luis Angel Acuna at 45, Heston Kerstad at 44, Drew Jones at 43, probably one of the higher spots you're going to see Drew Jones.
Wow.
Carson Williams at 42, Colton Cowser blowing up. What? In 41. Wow. And Emmanuel Rodriguez. So I'm up and down on this range of players. Some that I'm glad I see this high. I think it's worth kind of even going over most of these guys here now.
Yeah, I believe so too.
I'm cool with Tamar at 49. I'm cool with Snelling at 48. I'm cool with Cole Young at 47. I'm not cool with Dalton Rushing at 46.
Where'd you have him?
He didn't. I don't have him on my top 100.
Wow.
Dude, if you're a catcher, you're just like, I'm not interested, really.
That's a big. But you like you like Dalton though. You used to, at least.
Yeah, I do. I do like him. I'd have him in the 120 in that range.
I get it about the catcher thing, though. Look, trust me. I just can't stand catchers.
That's what it is. I mean, he's going to play 120 games for you at catcher, especially in a Dodgers organization.
Right.
You know, or he's going to have to hit enough to play first base.
Right, exactly.
These guys, like, there's exceptions. Like, Basalo is an exception for me.
Yes, I agree.
And that's who I want. I want guys that have that'll catch 10 to 15 to 30 games a year and then DH and play first base the rest of the year. Like, that's who I'm looking for if I'm going to rank them high. That's just my
not like a catcher proper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
So Basalo's like the perfect catching prospect because he's not good enough to play 120 games as a catcher.
Yeah.
But he's good enough to hit and play 162 games, you know. So.
Oh yeah.
Where do you have Rushing? I'm assuming you have Rushing on the list.
I do, but he's lower than 46 by some amount. I think he was in the 69 actually is where I had Dalton Rushing. Okay, so let's see. Did you want to finish on where you've got your guys, and then I could do.
I'm going quickly. Like, Acuna's fine at 45. I get it. Like, fantasy wise, he's appealing. Kerstad's really close to where I have him. But Drew Jones is the guy that, you know, I still believe in Drew a little bit. I got him at 65. Where do you have Drew?
For me, oh man, I hate to say this, but there's no two ways around it. He's Mr. Irrelevant for me on my list. Number 100 on the dot.
Okay.
But that's just because I literally have not seen anything from him yet. And he's existent on my list by reputation and name alone. But that can get you a far away. It's not to say it won't happen because he's still really young. But right now, for me, not really that impressed.
That's a smart take for sure. Carson Williams, I kind of like at 42. I'm really starting to grow into the Bobby Witt 2.0 with him.
Yes, thank you.
Couser I have up at 27, and 41 seems reasonable as well, especially with such a great spring that he's having. I'm assuming you have him pretty high as well.
I do. Yeah, I do.
And I have Emmanuel pretty much at 42, which is the same as 40. So you got, you're still good on Emmanuel. He hits the ball so hard.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah, he really does. But he again was one of those guys just like Curtis Mead, where he just kind of just kept falling. You know, I would rather talk about other guys just because, you know, people know about Emmanuel. But again, you got to give a guy props where he deserves his props. And he does. He smashes the ball. He makes a lot of hard contact. So,
yeah. So 39. Yeah, I'm fine with him there. Jacob Mizorowski at 39, Tyler Black at 38, Xavier Isaac, who we've had a discussion with a little bit, 37, Brooks Lee at 36. Get into some of my guys here. Jet Williams at 35, Brady House at 34, Kobe Mayo at 33, Jackson Merrill, starting center fielder for the Padres at 32, Jackson Jobe at 31, and Adele Amador. Now, a little bit of a caveat as we reach the 32-ish range, in that you had to be a tier one prospect on one of the top 50 lists to be in the top 32. Okay. So what, it doesn't matter who was ranking, right? We all had to have those guys top 32, top 33, 34, something like that. Just to keep it consistent with the top 50 list, which makes sense, right? So you couldn't push up a guy too crazy on this list, because if he wasn't a tier one guy, the highest he could theoretically be would be like 35. So keep that in mind as we move forward. These names aren't going to be as crazy. I did make my own top 100 list separate with any of those rules. And I adjusted it when I put it into the prospects 1500, if that makes sense. So we can still kind of do this exercise. So nobody really is crazy for me here. I don't think I had Tyler Black that high, but I do like Tyler Black.
I like Black too. I like Black too. I had him at right around the same. Black. Yeah, 55 for me on Black.
Yeah. My big one's Jet at 11, which I've sort of given. And everything else is pretty close. I think I have Mayo pretty high, too. Oh, my God. Yeah, I have Mayo at 7.
Wow. That is high.
I have him. It was higher than I expected, but it's – I don't know. I think I'd still take him about over all the other guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like him because he reminds me of a much more MLB-ready Alec Bohm, who has now become a nice MLB player. But I think Mayo is – I think he's leaps and bounds ahead of Bohm at this point in his career.
Yeah. I'm not going to take credit for this, but Eric Cross has mentioned this multiple times, in that – him and Junior Caminero have essentially like the same scouting grades, with Caminero at like 70 power and Mayo at like 65, which I actually would think that they're, if anything, they have the same amount of power, and Caminero maybe has like a 70 or whatever. I don't know what his hit tool is, but maybe 5 or 10 more than that. But I mean, this is Austin Riley-esque type of guys that just are going to mash for you. So I'm cool.
Yeah. 7. let me just tell you where I had Tamara at. Now, the site had him at 49. This was one of my more prouder. I love him so much, and I absolutely love the fact that he is crushing this spring. He looks incredible right now. I ended up putting him in 21. So, nice. And I'm totally excited about that at 21.
Yeah. He got there in a different way than I thought he was going to, but he's getting there, which is
yes.
fun.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, the other guys, I think you're always going to see Merrill and Jobe and Amador in that sort of range, so cool with that. Move on, Mason Wynn at 29, Kyle Harrison at 28, Kyle Manzardo at 27, Matt Shaw, look at us being progressive at 26. Where did I wait till you? Well, mine's not that crazy. Chase DeLauder at 25. He's looked good too. Max Clark, your guy At 24. Andrew Painter at 23. Noel V. Marte at 22.
Ooh, yeah. I had to account for that as well. Also.
Cade Horton at 21 and Ricky Tiedemann at
20. Wow.
All right. I had Marte at 8.
Yeah.
Before the news, which it doesn't really change his long-term outlook, I suppose. But not great.
I had him at like 13, and then but because I did my list today, I dropped him down to like 68, I think is where I got. Not 63, but I mean that's only be but I mean overall, I mean Tatis came back from it, right? So if he can't, anybody can, I suppose.
Shame. It is. Where do you got Max Clark on your list? Max Clark at 24 is pretty aggressive.
Yeah, it is. And I don't even know if I I got him at – I have him at 16. So, but he's – I like him.
Hey, that's where I have Matt Shaw. And so we've discussed that. So I think you should take Matt Shaw after Steens, and you think you should take Max Clark. So listen to who you want.
Yep.
Nobody else crazy there, I don't think. I guess I'm a little lower on Tiedemann. Where do I have Tiedemann? 47 versus 20. That's
47.
Fine. I mean, we're not getting – those aren't that – that's
not
that.
No, not crazy dips and raises. I don't think so. So
let's go to the top 20 here with Marcelo Meyer at 19, Peter Crow Armstrong at 18, Colson Montgomery at 17, Samuel Basalo at 16, Colt Keith at 15, Jason Dominguez at 14, James Wood at 13, Roman Anthony at 12, Ethan Salas at 11, Walker Jenkins at 10. So the top 10 is not going to vary too crazy, and even one spot's not that big of a deal. This is the range where you can still get a little bit of
deviation. Variance.
So what do you have? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look for who I might have. I've never loved Colson, but Colson 43. I got Colson at 43 now. It's a big jump for me. I had him, never had him on my 100 until now.
Jason Dominguez, I worked his way back up. So he was the opposite of, say, like Curtis Mead or Manuel Rodriguez. I think I initially had him somewhere like in the mid 50s, but he was one of those guys where I just kept seeing him on my list, and he just felt too low. So I got him right underneath. I got him sandwiched in between Kobe Mayo and Snelling in at number 33 overall.
Okay. Wow. I got him at 10. So
Yeah. I could see that. I could see all of that. And that's the whole reason why I continuously kept raising him. But by the time I got to 33, I felt like, okay, that's probably good enough.
Yeah. I'm pretty good on, like, this range is really close to my list. I got Pete Crow Armstrong high. Marcelo Meyer, I have a little lower at 29, but nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Ethan Salas. Let's see, here's my catching test. I got Ethan Salas at 31. It's still pretty good.
I actually have Salas at 11, but I had him at like 8, but then I was like, nah, I can't do it. I can't do a top 10. He's only 17, 16.
I think that he's just an elite talent.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know, you know, is he a 40 homer back? I don't know yet. I got to find – we still have a lot to learn. Just, he's a major leaguer for, like, an all-star for sure for many, many years. But how does he get there? I'm very interested in that.
That's a really good question.
Nothing's standing out too crazy. So, again, like, these top ones, like, you guys know. who these guys are. Might as well go over the top 10 for us here with Walker Jenkins, Yamamoto at 9, Evan Carter at 8, Paul Skeens at 7, Dylan Cruz at 6, Jordan Lawler at 5, Wyatt Langford at 4, Caminero at 3, Jackson Chourio at 2, Jackson Holiday, hey, 2 back-to-back Jacksons. There we go. Mm-hmm. Why don't you give me your top 10 list, Nate? I'll give you my top 10, and we'll go off of that, and that's enough information for everybody.
I completely forgot about Yamamoto. So
that's fine. I get it. That's no problem.
Yeah. Just totally forgot about him being a prospect. He looks stellar, by the way. Good God. Okay. So I'll continue with the trend from the bottom up. After Salas at 11, I had Walker Jenkins at number 10.
Here, let's alternate it. Okay. So your 10 is Jenkins. I have Jason Dominguez at number 10.
Wow. Good one. I like that. Mm-hmm. All right. I have James Wood at number 9.
Okay. I got Paul Skeens at number 9.
Okay. I've got Jordan Lawler at number 8.
Mm-hmm. I have Noelvi Marte at number 8. Mm-hmm. I wonder if I'll update that. I don't think I'm going to change it much if I did. I would maybe bump James Wood up now to that area.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm cool with that. So let's pretend that's James Wood. That seems like a reasonable dip for Marte with an 80-game suspension.
For sure. Okay, so that 7. Was 8? Oh, that was – okay, so now we're at 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At number 7, I've got Dylan Cruz.
Dylan Cruz. Very nice. I got Kobe Mayo at 7.
Wow.
Still comfortable with that. I don't care. He's going to hit 40 more times. I'm cool with it.
So am I, because you got to have conviction when you're doing this. Otherwise, why would anybody listen to us? You know, if we were just running chalk all day, all night. I mean,
yeah, no, nobody, that's a good point.
The chalk, right. Like you can get it on anything.
Number 6. Right, so,
number 6, Jackson Chourio.
Wow, it's 6?
Yep.
You're crazy. Yep. All right, I got Jordan Lawler at 6.
Okay. I got Skeens at 5.
Wow, look at you. I got Yamamoto at 5. It's kind of cheating, but...
okay. I don't like this as much as I would like in the opposite direction, but I stuck true to my gut and I'll just say it. It's Wyatt Langford at 4, who I would rather have at 3, but I will, that's okay. Langford's at 4.
Okay, I got Chourio at 4. I'm very anxious to see who you have ahead of Chourio. That seems crazy to me.
Evan Carter's number 3.
So if I came in a dynasty league, I'll give you Evan Carter for Chourio. You're saying yes to that. You're crazy.
I would counter with like I don't know, like a middle tier prospect pitcher, but on top of it, but. This is the thing with Carter is his on base percentage, you know, and it was more so than anything for me on top of Chourio is he went to the bigs. He did it. Then he went to the playoffs and he was even better and they ended up winning the whole damn thing. And he was a big part of that. So he's got speed. He's got an incredible hit tool. The power will, I think he'll sit at least 20 home runs will be his floor for the rest of his career. I think 30 stolen bases will be his floor for the rest of his career until he gets into the, you know, the twilight. And I think 300 is his floor as average every year. And for me, that's quality in and of itself.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We got to do some sort of bet to see who has the better career because I would. I got Carter at 14 and Churio at 4. That shows you where.
Okay.
I'm at. Yep. Okay. Who do you got at 3?
Evan Carter.
Okay, Carter. Wait.
Yeah.
Okay, I got Wyatt Langford at 3.
Okay. Good. Good.
Got it. I see what you said. Okay.
Yeah.
And so then 2.
Yeah, number 2, Junior Caminero.
Yeah, agreed. And then Holiday at number 1. So,
yep.
Good stuff. All right. Again, I wanted this to be a primer in a sense, meaning that you got at least you know your top 100 guys. You get an idea of kind of the overall value that you could expect when you go to the league in Prospects 1500 as a way of sort of, you know, hey, look, I got this guy. He's a top 50 prospect. You get a couple of guys that I think you can get more value or less value from, and Nate giving his own. So hopefully that gives you a way, because obviously people are going to meet at the middle with these types of guys, and it's your job as an owner to try to extract as much value as you can. So that's why I like to go over these. Not to say that like our ideas are better, but just the way
our
like,
ideas are better.
Well, I think that, you know, a couple of these names, they're still carrying over from like last year.
Yeah.
They're kind of, we get more information and realize the ceiling's not as high, or they're more of a floor guy, or the risk is higher, or like Tamar Johnson's a great example. Like we were very sure he was just going to be this like 300 hitter with like 20 homers. And now it's like a 250 hitter with like 35 homers. He turned into this way different player. So we got to get all this information, but hopefully it helped. I would like to go over the back half of this list. There's about 90 more prospects that we can go over. I think that's quite an interesting task to go over as well. Some of these names, these are the ones that you pick up and they turn into something. That's fun, right? You're not getting top 10 prospects from anybody anymore. You know, you can't pay for it. So check out those spring breakout roster games. I think those are going to be a lot of fun. And we'll continue on with the divisions that we have left. I wanted to take a little bit of break. And of course, please, vote for us. If you see that tweet come out on Twitter from Baseball Pods, really appreciate it. Would love to just keep climbing those rankings and seeing if we can maybe get in at least the top 4, elite 8, something like that. So appreciate you listening. And again, if you could leave some positive reviews, if you liked this episode. If you didn't, I'm just asking, don't go on and give a 1-star view. Like that just seems rude. Like, you don't just stop listening if you don't like it. Like that's it, right? You don't have to go out of your way and give us a 1-star review. Talk to me first, all right? And then we'll work something out.
Yeah.
But leave it to Mets fans to do that. I get
ooh,
it.
Ooh.
All right. We'll end there before I say more bad things. Nate, pleasure as always. We will see
likewise.
You next week. Futures Focus. We're out.